Welcome to Cuz We're Nerds, the podcast that covers trends and new releases in comics, movies, video games, board games, and much more. I'm your host, Zach, and with me is my co-host and cousin, Caleb.
Hey, everyone.
Thanks for joining our X-Force team this week as we cover the Deadpool 2 movie. How did this movie compare to the first? Who is Cable, and is he comic accurate in this film? And finally, who would win in a fight? Peter, with no superpowers, or Dopinder, the cab driver? Find out the answers to these questions and much more on this week's episode of Cuz We're Nerds. All right, Caleb, well, this week I was at the MSP Comic-Con.
Nice. How was it?
You know, it was pretty, pretty sweet. There were a lot of creators. Jen Bartel, she did the penciling and artist on, I don't know if you've read the Mighty Thor issue number one.
No.
Okay. Well, there were some other big artists that you would know. There was Pat Broderick. Mm-hmm. He was the artist on the first appearance of Tim Drake in Batman issue 436.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Some other big ones you might know was Dan Jurgens. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Was there, and he was the writer of Action Comics up until the launch of Action Comics 1000. So he also wrote Death of Superman. He was part of the team that was on that comic.
That's pretty cool. When I went to Dragon Con last year, I got to meet one of my favorite artists of all time, Mark Bagley. It was kind of crazy. It was really quick. He was getting up to go to a panel, but he had a table down there, and he was doing art stuff, and I should have bought a piece. I didn't. I'm kind of regretting it now.
Yeah.
But he's always been one of my favorite artists.
Well, that's awesome. And hello to anybody who is joining us from that event. I know we had some handouts, and you might have seen my face around or a shirt.
Or hopefully not. I mean, you know, we don't want to scare people off.
Well, Caleb, last week we talked about Battle Royale, and like right after our podcast, I got a notification that Call of Duty has now announced its own Battle Royale.
Yeah, so this kind of, I guess, came out of nowhere. I don't know. I don't really follow Call of Duty. So you sent this over to me, and I was like, you know, I was into Call of Duty in high school. That's been a while. I don't really care about it anymore. But I watched the trailer, and, you know, I talked about last week how I feel about Battle Royale games in general. This one, though, kind of piqued my interest.
Yeah, so this is actually Black Ops. So it's the Call of Duty Black Ops, and it's from Black Ops 4, and it's called Blackout. So apparently this is, I mean, they have to make a huge map if you're familiar with any of the Call of Duty games. They're pretty small. You know, it's not like a Battlefield, Battlefront.
Yeah, they're not very big.
No, they're not. I mean, they're probably the size of Overwatch maps, I would assume.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I think that's a pretty good comparison. Although Overwatch maps feel a little bit more contained.
That's true. But yeah, Blackout is going to be about 1,500 times their largest map, which was Nuketown.
And wow.
It'll also contain vehicles, which something Call of Duty doesn't really do, right? It's more fast-paced, unlike Battlefield. So what I think they're trying to do is get ahead of Battlefield, who they're anticipating will also release their own Battle Royale mode.
Yeah, and that's probably the thing that got me interested the most was the vehicles. I mean, it's saying land, air, water, all these different things. And if it's a good vehicle, I'm a sucker for a good vehicle in a video game. I remember back in the Halo days, getting on those vehicles, the ghosts and everything, and
the
going to town.
Flip.
Yeah,
oh,
the warthogs. Yeah, and was it Banshees, the flying ones?
Yep, Banshees.
Yeah, Banshees. I loved all of those. So if they handle anywhere as good as those, I would totally be down for that.
I agree. it'll be interesting to see more information when, you know, that comes to light.
In other news, we got another cryptic teaser from Marvel. They like to do these from time to time, teasing events that are coming up and different things. And this one is for, I'm assuming, something Spider-Man related, since it is titled Spider-Geddon.
Yeah, that's correct. So it's a new Marvel event, obviously happening with Spider-Man, titled Spider-Geddon. And all we really know about it is it's happening in the comics. It's launching this fall. And Spider-Man is going back, well, back in black, baby. He is going back to his black and white suit.
Yeah, I know that he's getting a new creative team. The team that's been on it for the past 10 years or so is moving over to DC, I think, or maybe somewhere else on Marvel. I can't remember. But Dan Slott is not going to be writing anymore, and the new people are going to put him in the black suit. Now, Zach, you sent this article over to me, and I was just skimming it real quickly because I missed this somehow. And I was reading, it says they brought back the Ultimate Universe in the comics recently. I just want to air my frustrations with this. Why? It's the same thing with Legacy. You just decided to go back to something. Why are you going back on what you just did?
It's all about the money, money, money.
No.
Yes. No, yeah. It really is all about the money. But that'll be interesting to see what happens with that crossover event. But I'll be honest, I don't read any of the Spider-Man crossover events. But who knows? Maybe one of these days.
Obviously, I will read them. I will probably be 6 months late, so I don't know if we'll talk about it, but I will see that. Now, looking away from the comics onto the television screen, Zach, we've got a couple different pieces of news from TV, mostly Arrow. Do you still watch Arrow, or have you ever?
I watched it up to season 3, and I'm like, this is incredibly repetitive. So I switched to Flash, watched that up into season 2, and went, this is incredibly repetitive. It goes back to last podcast, Caleb, where I said, a TV show has to be really good for me to continue watching it, yeah. And I feel like Arrow and Flash are just too repetitive to watch.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I think I was in season 4 with Arrow, and then Flash, and I just kind of migrated to Flash, not on purpose, and then I migrated away from all of it.
Sure.
Because, you know, I didn't have time. But talking about Arrow, apparently they're going to introduce Batwoman into the Flaroverse.
Yes, I saw that. That'll be really interesting. I wonder how they will introduce her, because wouldn't it be more apt to introduce her into, like, Gotham?
Well, Gotham is not connected to the current DC Flaroverse group. Gotham is completely separate. No.
Okay.
So the Flaroverse is, it used to be the Arrowverse, and then Flash got super popular, so they renamed it the Flaroverse.
Oh, that's so cringy.
Yeah, I know. but it's also got Supergirl in it. It does not have Black Lightning in it as of right now, but if that does good, maybe they'll fold it in, because Supergirl wasn't in it originally.
Sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I know they've been teasing it for a while, but eh.
Yeah, that probably sums up my feelings as well, but it'll be interesting to see them bring somebody like that into the Flash-o-Arrow cringiverse.
Well, another thing they've been teasing for a while, Zach, is the goatee, the Van Dyke for Green Arrow. You know, in the comics, he basically looks like Robin Hood. And so in the past, Stephen Amell has kind of hinted that that's going to be coming to the show, and it never has. He has done this again. So 50-50 whether it's actually going to show up in the show. Personally, I don't care about this, but
I was going to say, Caleb, if our podcast goes so low to talk about facial hair on an actor, I quit. I quit, man.
Yeah, no. I really don't care about this, but I know there are people out there that do, and it's new, so I figured I'd throw it in. Moving on, though. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., different TV show, different company. But guess what, Zach? It is not coming back until the summer of 2019.
Ooh, well, I do have a spoiler for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert, everyone, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but go ahead and hit me.
For the current season, it is a death of a character that I saw that they have killed off.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So time codes will be in the description. Anyways, they have killed off Agent Coulson. Again.
That's literally what I was going to say. Again?
So I haven't watched the episode. I just read an article about it, about how they killed him, but this time it was on his own terms, and so it worked really well. But I'm like, again?
but is he really dead? I mean, they've done some crazy things in the show, so...
Well, apparently it's for real, but who knows?
That's weird. I mean, I don't have an issue with it necessarily, but weird.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's no surprising that it's not, you know, going to return until 2019. They needed to take a break. It's been going on for forever.
Yeah, well, they actually weren't sure if it was going to get renewed. People were thinking it was going to get canceled. It didn't. It will be coming back, but only for half a season. Like, they're only going to do half the number of episodes they normally do. And then potentially it'll continue going, or potentially that will be its last season. We're not really sure yet.
Yeah, I can see it being its last season. I mean, I stopped watching that back in season 2, apparently it's gotten better, but still.
Yeah, I think I fell off that around season 3. It was a little bit before I stopped watching Arrow and Flash. So, interesting to see what they do with it.
That's very true. But Caleb, jumping from TV to movie, we actually have a couple of different news and articles in the movies. The first one is about your character, Spider-Man.
That's right. Zach, question. We're sitting here. We're both looking at the same Google Doc. I don't mind sharing that with our listeners. How do you pronounce this guy's name in this
Jake
article?
Gyllenhaal. So the
Jake
G
Gyllenhaal?
Okay. Is not silent. It's Jake okay. Gyllenhaal.
So I wasn't sure about this because I've heard Gyllenhaal, I've heard Gyllenhaal, I've heard all kinds of ways. And so you know what? I looked it up and what I found shocked me.
What is that?
It's not anything like that. So he is like half Swedish. And so the actual legitimate correct way to pronounce his last name is like Gyllenhaal.
Except I'm pretty sure that all news articles, news reporters or interviews have said Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, but seriously, this came from his mouth. I watched an interview with him. I think it was on Conan, and he was talking about how no one pronounces his name correctly.
Wouldn't that be the worst to like become super famous and then just nobody pronounces your name correctly at all?
He says the only time it's pronounced correctly is when he goes to Sweden and IKEA.
Yes.
So anyway, Mr. Gyllenhaal is supposedly maybe going to be in Spider-Man Homecoming 2 as Mysterio. Ooh.
Okay, yeah. So news did come out that Jake Gyllenhaal was cast in Spider-Man Homecoming 2. We don't know the villain yet, but the guess and the assumption going around is that it could be Mysterio.
So what I read said it was just a rumor. So I don't know if it's actually official. I don't know if it will be. We'll find out, I guess. When they do press releases?
That's true. But what we do know is that Michael Keaton will return for Spider-Man Homecoming 2.
Yeah, that was part of the same article. So if one of them comes true, the other one should come true as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back. I would be surprised if it were in a big role. But definitely like a cameo or a mentor to this guy. I mean, maybe he built his tech, you know.
Yeah, and again, we hypothesize that they're building towards either Spider-Man Homecoming 3 or 4, which will incorporate the Sinister Six.
Right, and Mysterio has always been a part of that. For those of you guys that don't know, Mysterio is basically this villain who wears a fishpole on his head. He is a former movie special effects technician, and he has no powers, but he uses these special effects engines and things to trick Spider-Man into thinking things are there when they're not, kind of hallucinating him like sometimes.
And like a magician.
Yeah.
It sounds really stupid, but he's actually really, really cool.
Yeah, he can actually be used either way. He can be like a really stupid villain or a really good one. We'll see. I don't think they're going to do the fishbowl. I think they'll probably do something more like the Ultimate Universe where his head is more like it's like smoke and there's like a face kind of projected onto it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I think that looks better.
Okay, what if in the movie he actually is Jake Gyllenhaal and he has become so upset with nobody pronouncing his name correctly that he has decided to go on a killing rampage and Spider-Man has to stop the actor?
I would be... You know what? No, I would not be down for that. I changed my mind. But enough about Marvel news. Let's jump over to DC for a second. Zach, Shazam. It's a movie that's happening. Do you know anything about Shazam?
Yeah, so we have Zachary Levi. You might know him from the TV show Chuck. He is...
Marvel. Thor movies.
True, but it's hard to distinguish him there.
True. He played Fandral.
That's right. But we have gotten our first kind of set photo. It's not really a set photo. It's more of a...
It's a promotional photo.
Promotional photo, right? I believe it was on Twitter or Instagram. We have a picture of Zachary Levi who posted it himself and he's pointing at a promo of Shazam.
Yeah, so pictures of this leaked, I don't know, 2 months ago of him filming on set in full costume. So we kind of already knew what it was looking like. But this is our first one that's actually been put out by the studio that's been doctored or whatever they're going to do to it. I think it looks pretty much exactly the same as the set pictures. I mean, it looks good. I've seen Shazam and things. I don't read very many DC comics, so I've never read him in anything. I know that he's a kid that basically gets, I think, some ancient Egyptian curse or gift or something. It might not be Egyptian.
And he says Shazam and then turns basically into Superman. Like, the power level, the powers, it's basically Superman.
Yeah, he was actually a character from a different company that was a Superman ripoff, and DC ended up acquiring him. I can't remember if it's because of them being sued or if it was after that, but yes, he was a Superman ripoff, literally, and then DC got him, so...
Yeah, so it'll be interesting when this movie comes out. I don't think it'll do very well, but with Zachary Levi, I could see it definitely being more of a Marvel superhero movie versus in the DC universe.
Yeah, it's interesting because it looks like it's going to be a lot brighter than the other DC movies, closer to Wonder Woman. But even apart from that, it looks even brighter. There was some confusion about whether or not it was going to be set in that universe. I think it's supposed to be, but I think it's probably going to be one of those where it's set in there, but it doesn't really have anything to do with it. Kind of like the Runaways with Marvel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we'll see.
And so we also got a new trailer for Mission Impossible Fallout. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have seen this. Zach, are you a fan of the franchise?
Yeah, I do. I really like, I guess I liked all of them. Their last one, was that Rogue?
Rogue Protocol? Ghost Protocol.
Yeah, I mean, their recent ones have been really good. Their old ones were really good. I'm a fan of it. Tom Cruise is getting really old, so I think some of that, like, coolness is wearing off for me a little bit, because it's kind of the same thing over and over. But for the most part, I like it. How about yourself?
Yeah, I've kind of always liked these movies. Obviously, some are better than others. The first one is great. The second one is, the third one is better than the second one. And then that kind of went into overdrive with 4, right? They got new life into it, kind of like the Fast and the Furious franchise. And they got really, really good. And so I've liked these movies. I've seen them. I have a poster for 4. I can't think of the name of it right now. When I went to see it, they handed out posters. And it's really good. It's funny you say that he's getting old. It's kind of the same thing over and over. He goes rogue in like every movie. I don't remember if he does it in number 2. But all the other movies he goes rogue. And it's funny because in the trailer for this one, they're like, he always goes rogue. We can't let him go rogue again.
And then he's going to go rogue.
Right. So it's nice to see they're actually acknowledging that this time. But this looks great. I think it probably looks the best out of all of them so far. So I'm really excited to see this movie.
Yeah, especially where he breaks his foot. Have you seen that trailer?
I heard about that. Yeah, he broke his foot when he was doing a stunt.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, really, really brutal. So you see Tom Cruise jump into another building and his foot is like supposed to go, I think, up. And he hits the building and it basically twists and goes sideways. And this man gets up and finishes the scene and runs on it. And it's obviously broken. Like, it's twisted and broken and he still runs on it. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, because he wanted the take. I mean, look, no matter what you say about Tom Cruise or how you feel about him, that is incredible.
Agreed.
All right, now on to some anime news. Zach, we haven't talked about anime too much. I'm a fairly big anime fan. I don't keep up with new stuff, but certain series I like. Are you a fan of Dragon Ball Z in particular?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. Well, I understand that. It's kind of one of those things, you like it or you don't. Last year, Courtney and I watched the entirety of both Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, and she loved it. We're big fans, and so that was the first time she'd seen it, so I'm excited. Currently, they've been airing a series called Dragon Ball Super, and that was the first new series. I haven't watched any yet. I will, though. I plan to.
Okay.
Basically, they did a couple movies, and those movies did so well that they decided to do a new series, which was the first series in like 15, 20 years. So it was a pretty big deal. Recently, it ended in Japan, and they're going to do a new movie in December. But people were sad, you know, no more Dragon Ball TV show. But sure, there is going to be a new one.
Okay, so what's it going to be called?
So this one is going to be a little bit different. This is going to be more of a promotional series to promote something called Dragon Ball Heroes. It's a game, and basically it's going to be based on this game. And I think it's only supposed to last like half a season, like maybe 10 episodes or something. But they've never done this before, to my knowledge, so it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
That's really interesting to note for a TV show to come out that's based on a game. So it's a TV show, obviously a cartoon, but it's centered around the fact of promoting a game. So are you going to buy said game?
Probably not. It might be an MMO, I'm not sure. I do have Dragon Ball FighterZ or Dragon Ball FighterZ. I'm not really sure which one it is. The newest one that's come out, the fighting game, that one's awesome, but I'm in no rush to go buy this other one.
Sure.
And then finally, we got a trailer that's pretty different. Zach, have you seen the trailer for The Happy Time Murders?
I did. So this actually came on in my viewing of Deadpool when I went to the theater. And I'm pretty sure it came out in most theaters that, you know, if you went and saw Deadpool, you probably saw this trailer for The Happy Time Murders. And this one, for a second, I thought it was another like Sesame Street or Muppets. And I'm like, oh, not again, not one of these. And then they started making sex jokes and jokes about crack cocaine and beating up Muppets. And I'm like, what's going on? So basically, this movie has Melissa McCarthy in it. She's the main protagonist.
Yeah, which I'm usually not a fan of, but she looks okay in this one.
No, I'm usually not a fan either, but she looks really funny in this one. I mean, at least the clips I've seen. And yeah. So she joins up with a cop to solve murders that are happening to Muppets. Somebody's going and whacking Muppets. So in this like universe, Muppets are alive as well.
I just imagine someone with a big stick like going around and just hitting Muppets, whacking them.
It looks hilarious. You know, I probably won't see this in theaters, but definitely a red box.
So for me, this is totally in theaters. This is not a kid's movie at all.
No.
It was a red band trailer, which is the trailers that they can only show with R-rated movies. It's hilarious. I was not expecting it. In fact, I went to work the next day and was trying to show it to everyone, and I couldn't find it online because they hadn't released it yet. That was the premiere of the trailer, was with Deadpool. Apparently, it's been in production for like 10 years. It's actually directed by the son of Jim Henson, who is the guy that did the original Muppets and all that stuff.
How the Muppets have fallen. No.
Well, yeah. I'm excited to see this. It reminds me of like a Sausage Party, which I also loved.
Okay. I thought Sausage Party was decent. I didn't think it didn't live up to some of the other movies that those guys have made. Like, This Is the End.
Okay, sure.
I'm just really excited to read articles about parents who have brought their kids to the Happy Time Murders, right? You know, you'll have an article of like a mom being like, well, Jimmy here, he's in fourth grade and he saw something and said it was going to be awesome. And then there's all these crude jokes and it is going to be hilarious.
Speaking of that, I was in my screening for Deadpool and I noticed behind me there was like these 10 or 12 year old kids, two of them, and this trailer came on for Happy Time Murders and it ended and then it was silent for a second and then I heard the mom go, I thought this was supposed to be a family movie.
And if you haven't seen the trailer for the Happy Time Murders, it ends with a joke of two Muppets fondueing.
Yes. Yeah. Go watch it if you're old enough. But anyway, moving on, Zach, we are here today to talk about that movie, Deadpool 2.
That's right, Deadpool 2. Now, Caleb, how has this movie done in this past Thursday, so a week ago? And was it able to dethrone Infinity War?
Yeah, so Infinity War was at the number one spot for the past, I guess, 3 weeks or so, 4 weeks since it's come out. And this took the number one spot for the week away from it, which is pretty impressive. I mean, I'm not that surprised. It's Deadpool. But it has also done really, really well. The first one set a lot of records for R-rated movies. It was released in February, so it also set records for that month. This beat it for the highest grossing first day R-rated movie, which it actually broke the previous record. This movie made $53.3 million versus its $50.4 million.
And Caleb here isn't talking about it as in Infinity War. He is talking about it as in the clown movie, It. I-T, yes. It.
Yes. it is also the second best R-rated opening of a film behind the first Deadpool movie, which is pretty good.
That's really good.
We're recording on Tuesday, so it's been out for not quite a week yet. And on last update, it had made $312 million on a budget of, I think, around 100. So it's done really well.
So did they shrink their budget? Because I thought for Deadpool 1, they had a budget of like 150.
Oh, no, 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 no. Deadpool 1 had a much smaller budget. I think it was around 60. In fact, that was a point of contention after that movie did so well, is the studio wanted to give them more money, and the directors and everybody involved said, you know what? No, that's part of what made the first one so good, is we had to come up with ways to do things differently. And so they did up it a little bit, but they wanted to make it like a 150 budget.
Okay, then all that makes sense. But Caleb, I think that segues nice into the movie itself. So we're here are going to do a first non-spoiler review. So if you just want to hear about our thoughts on the movie without any spoilers in it, that's fine. And then after, we are going to dive into spoiler territory.
All right. So I guess we should just start with the synopsis, probably.
Yeah, go ahead. Give us that, Caleb.
So basically, without giving anything away, it's kind of hard to talk too much about this movie. But we get Deadpool. He's back! Deadpool! And things are a-brewing, and we get Cable coming back from the future to try to take care of some business, but Deadpool isn't sure he wants him to do that. And that's kind of the central...
That's pretty much all you can really say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are your kind of thoughts on this movie overall in comparison to Deadpool 1?
All right, Zach, I think my take on this is going to be pretty different from yours based on the two texts we've sent about this. I liked it.
Yes.
But I was disappointed.
Okay. Why were you disappointed?
I had high hopes for this movie. Sure. I was pretty excited. You know, I thought it would be pretty good. And going into it, I wasn't sure what to expect. I was spoiler free, except for like one or two things. And I think that there's really two issues. It's one issue, really. Is the trailers. I feel like they put almost all of the funny moments in the trailers. I feel that even just the main ones, not the TV spots, they put all the funny moments in the trailers, except for the ones they couldn't, the ones that were too lewd to put in there. And also, they told me this movie was going to be about something else than what it was actually about.
Okay, fair enough. You know, I thought this movie was good. I thought it was a good sequel. Now, I still think that Deadpool 1 is better than Deadpool 2. But just from a sequel standpoint, I thought this movie did really well, right? Because it went in a different direction. It gave Deadpool some different motivations. It allowed him to expand on his character and brought new people in. So, you know, in that kind of, when you think about it that way, this is a good movie. I will say, if you don't like the first Deadpool, but you watch the first Deadpool, I would actually suggest watching the second Deadpool.
Yeah,
the reason I
agree.
The reason I say that is, for example, I had a friend who, well, I still have a friend. He's actually one of our listeners, but he hated Deadpool 1. No, he's my friend. You can't say hey to him. He didn't like Deadpool 1 because of all the ball jokes, right? It's kind of like potty humor for a five-year-old to get in again, right? So the second one, I thought it was very, very different. It didn't have as many of those jokes. I only counted maybe one or two of those types of jokes.
Yep.
This was a more grounded, more serious movie, and it brought in different characters, which is, it felt very different. So if you didn't like number one, I would probably gamble that you would actually end up enjoying number two more.
Yeah, I have a friend that pretty much did the exact same thing. He wasn't a really big fan of the first one at all. The second one, he's still not a big fan of, but he liked it more because it is like that, which is actually kind of one of my complaints. This movie opens and it's oddly serious and oddly like trying to teach you a lesson and be about real stuff. And the first movie, I feel, was really just an action comedy. And for the first 20, 30 minutes, I don't really think that this movie is funny at all.
No, so the way this movie opens, this isn't a spoiler, the way this movie opens, it mirrors Deadpool 1. So I actually watched the first Deadpool right before going into this movie, and it takes place, and then there's a flashback, right? Kind of how Deadpool 1 was on the bridge, and then he kept flashing back. Except this movie ends that flashback within like the first 10 minutes, and then it's all new territory. I liked how in the first movie, that was about half the movie. It was the flashback and then real time, then flashback and then real time, then flashback, and then real time ended the movie. And that was it. And I love that part. This, it's all kind of new territory. And I guess it just didn't seem like it had a direction it was going. It was just more randomly going in random directions, if that makes sense.
I agree.
Yeah. So I felt like there was no powerful storyline here. There was a storyline, but the storyline it gives you doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. There's not a lot of motivation for the villain here.
Yep, I agree. I think there's at least three major plots that are going throughout most of this movie. And they just don't really land. This movie does open with a fairly big bombshell, I'd say. We'll talk more about that in spoilers, Zach, but did you feel that that was the right direction for the movie, or did you think no?
To talk about it, we need to jump into spoiler territory.
Okay.
So before we do, Caleb, though, I want to know, just from a rating, would you rate this, like, from a as good as Marvel or as bad as Batman versus Superman? Where does this land on your list?
No. It's definitely not a Batman v Superman. It's not as good as Infinity War, did you see that video they released of the 10 years buildup with Deadpool?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was really funny. Yeah, here's the thing with this movie. I think that on repeat viewings, for me at least, it will probably get better. Because now I know what the movie is, and I'm not disappointed about what it wasn't. But it's so different from the first one. It feels different in almost every way. Everyone I've talked to said it feels different. So, I don't know. It's closer to Marvel stuff. For me, I think the first one is still better. I think it was more unexpected. And this one, I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned about the future of Deadpool after seeing this movie, actually.
Well, and so this isn't letting anything go as well, but so the future of Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds has actually come out and stated that they might not do a Deadpool 3, that he believes that in Deadpool 2, his story arc is kind of finished, and so they don't necessarily need to do a third movie. So I'd actually be surprised if they come out with a 3. I think they're just going to stick with 2 and call it good, unless Marvel does acquire Fox and it launches a Deadpool.
Well, the plan is not to do a Deadpool 3, but to do an X-Force, which in my book is going to be Deadpool 3. I mean, that's been in the trailers for this movie, so they're clearly leaning into that. That has always been the plan since the first one came out. They're definitely doing X-Force. And I don't know. I don't think I want it to be a Deadpool movie anymore. I think I want it to be an actual X-Force movie.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see. And so, spoiler warning, we'll now go into the spoiler talks of this movie. Caleb, the rumors were true. And what do I mean by rumors? I mean the rumors that A, the girlfriend dies right away in a girlfriend in the fridge situation. And the second rumor is that the Juggernaut is the main villain. I mean, if you can say that. So why don't we talk about the first one? Caleb, did you get the woman in the fridge feel?
So I didn't. I actually did not hear that rumor going in. I had no idea about that. Listening to people talk about it afterwards, it's very, very evident. But that's not really something I look for in a movie. I don't think that... Look, it's a weak motivation. And actually, they do it twice in this movie. It's him, it's Deadpool, and it's Cable. Both of them have that same motivation. Someone dies, and that's their sole motivation. But it's fine to me in the movie. It made sense in the beginning. I was shocked. Were you shocked?
No, because I knew going into it that was one of the rumors, was that Vanessa dies within the first 10, 20 minutes. That's why people didn't like this movie when it first started screening, right? And I also knew that there were some rumors or complaints of the woman in refrigerators. What I'm talking about there is it's a term used, I don't know who it's coined by, but it's used to refer to a character arc where a female dies just to motivate and spur on a male character. So it came from Green Lantern issue 54, where basically the writers made it where Green Lantern came home and his girlfriend was killed and stuffed in a fridge. And so that, you know, gave him the motivation he needed to go get off his butt, because that's kind of what he was doing before that, right? So I actually think it's kind of true here. I didn't feel like they needed to kill Vanessa at all. And originally, I actually just read an article that the writer said they originally weren't going to kill Vanessa. They were just going to have her leave Deadpool, which I thought would be a better motivation, and then him trying to win her back, which I thought would be a lot more humorous, provide a lot more moments that would be memorable, but instead they kill Vanessa. And that was basically because Ryan Reynolds said that they needed to take everything away from Deadpool to make him a driven character, likable character. And I just don't agree with that at all.
No, I think, especially in this movie and thinking back probably in the first one as well, I like Deadpool most when he's with other characters. I think that when he's with Colossus, it's great. I think when he's with the other X-Force members, it's great. And it really helps sell his character. And I think that it also helps you not get too tired of him and all of his jokes.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. The other reveal we had is that the Juggernaut, and that was another rumor that was being passed on, is that the Juggernaut was the main villain here. What did you think of the CGI of the Juggernaut and him as a villain?
So I wouldn't call him the main villain at all by any stretch. In fact, I would hardly even call him a villain. He is a very, very minor supporting character that doesn't appear until over halfway through the movie, I think. And I had heard of this. This was the big spoiler that I had accidentally seen. It was a rumor for a long time. I think that his CGI did not look real, but I don't think it had to. I mean, Colossus never looked real to me either in this movie or the first movie, but they got the characterization spot on, I think. And so I really enjoyed him. His face does look a little weird when they show it, which is odd. But I actually had a question, Zach. Did you notice?
Yeah.
So he's in the prison, right? I think they call it the icebox.
Yeah.
When he gets out of that, does he have a collar? Do we ever see him with a collar?
That's a good question. I wasn't really paying attention to that. We do know that Fire Fist somehow releases him. But I've never seen a collar on him.
Okay. Because I was wondering, because everyone in that prison has a collar to subdue their mutant abilities, right? Juggernaut is not a mutant. He never has been a mutant in the comic books. He's actually powered by magic. He's got this talisman that gives him these abilities.
Well, and they even talk about it, right? Because as they're walking, Fire Fist says something to the effect of, wait, so you just picked it up, referring to, I believe it was a hammer that he found and picked up, which is kind of like Thor, but it's the origin of his story. And then he's like, yep, and I wear the helmet to protect me from my brother, who...
Okay. I missed the first part of that. I heard the brother thing. Okay. So I was very curious, because Deadpool, these movies have actually been really good about sticking close to the character origins, which is one thing I love about them so much, and I thought that they had messed that up.
No, and not only did they kind of keep with the origins here, his appearance was amazing. Does the CGI hit all the time? No, but I think that's fine. I mean, like I said, the origins, he mentions his brother, which is Professor X. Well, it's actually a stepbrother, but who cares, right? It's a brother, Professor X. So they have his backup origins. His looks look incredible. I think even close up, he looks massive and he looks like a comic book character should, like the real Juggernaut, not like the whimsical Juggernaut we got from the X-Men movies, but the actual Juggernaut. I thought it was amazing.
And that's something that I appreciate about these movies. I was really surprised when they're doing the interviews for X-Force, Shatterstar comes in and he's like, oh yeah, I'm from Mojo World, which most people are like, oh, they just made that up. Mojo World's a thing from the comics. Mojo is this crazy alien thing. He's got these like things that hold his eyes open. He's ridiculous. And so the fact that they even put that in there, I thought was awesome.
It was. Now, somebody I have a gripe with, this is one of my downfalls in the movie, is Cable. I know they didn't get his origin correct and his power level at all. So, I mean, Cable, if you know him at all from the comics, he is the son of Scott Summers and Jean Grey. But not the Jean Grey, a Jean Grey clone, Madeline Pryor. Anyways, he's the son of them, and he goes into the future. They've retconned it a lot. Like, originally, he was from the future, but then later, he actually was from this time and just was sent into the future. It's all confusing. But his powers are that he has telepathy and telekinesis. Never in this movie is that shown. It's all about him having some high-tech weapons, and that's about it. And what I think is one of the strongest elements of his characters, how tough he is, because of his cyber enhancements, which they don't explain. They're not enhancements in the comics at all. That's a virus on him. It's kind of like Deadpool. It's a virus that has taken over half his body. So he has to focus all of his telekinesis power, at least half of his telekinesis power, to stop that from taking over his body. And if he loses, you know, focus, it would decimate him. So, I mean, I think that's like a really unique character that they just didn't go into at all.
Yeah, there's a moment where you see him looking at himself in the mirror, and it's kind of hinting at that origin of him. I think maybe this was in the movie and it just got cut out. There was news that came out that said they are going to do an extended edition, almost more like a director's cut, really. And I wonder if that's going to be in that version, because that is really interesting. And he does things in the movie, like he's got this magnetic gun, but is it magnetic? I'm pretty sure it's magnetic.
I thought about that. So in the trailers, it looks like he's using telekinesis, but that's how they cut it. When you look in the movie, it's definitely magnetic. It's the gun being high tech versus him actually having powers.
See, I didn't think it was the gun being high tech. I thought it was actually the technovirus that allowed him to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, either way, I didn't have an issue with him not being exactly the same. It is weird, the future he's from. It's super vague. We get like one shot of it, and then it's gone.
Well, they kill his wife and his daughter, which are, again, major players in the comics.
Yep, yep.
And, I mean, they kind of change his motivation. I can't speak to his earlier motivation when he was created. I do know I read Volume 2 and Volume 3 heavily, and in Volume 3, he goes back in time to find a mutant. I can't remember. I want to say it's Hope, but I can't remember the exact
Hope Summers
name. I believe so, but then that would Hope is like his daughter, and he's not going back to find his daughter.
Time travel.
Yes. Anyways, it was this huge X-Men storyline because she was supposed to be like the savior, and he traveled back to keep her alive. So he wasn't traveling back to kill someone. He was traveling back to protect her from somebody who was going to kill her. And I thought that was a way better motivation in the comics than what we see here, where he goes back to try to kill Fire Fist.
Yeah. So I have a couple questions about this.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not questions, just complaints, really. The future he's from, we don't know anything about it except for that his family was killed. I don't know if this is post-apocalyptic. It looks that way. It looks kind of like the one from Days of Future Past. But that was erased, so it shouldn't be that. But it might not be. I mean, it's super confusing. And then he comes back.
Super vague. Yeah.
Super vague. And it's also confusing because he travels back in time. But after the credit scene, when Deadpool travels back in time, he doesn't travel with his body. He like jumps. It's like his mind travels back like they did in Days of Future Past, which is like two different versions of time travel using the same device, which is confusing.
I mean, he does travel back with his body. Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I think he does travel back with his body.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard other people talk about this too, so I'm not the only one that feels this way. Maybe it's just the way it's cut.
I mean, it's very vague. So yeah, Cable's past, that's a downer for me. Another one is Fire Fist. Not a clear character at all. In some parts he's super serious, in some parts he's like trying to be funny, in some parts he's an awkward kid. I just couldn't get a read on this character. And then the whole idea of him trying to kill the headmaster, and once he's killed the headmaster he's going to go on a killing spree, I didn't buy it, especially because he doesn't look like a super powerful mutant.
So I liked Fire Fist. He was actually one of my favorite characters in this film. I feel that they did him justice. I don't feel that they did Cable justice. Apart from everything you've stated, I feel like just his character in general was underserved. He was not developed. They set him up in the trailers to be either a major villain or a major ally, depending on which one you watch. And he is not in it that much. I don't feel like he's in it that much. And that's part of my issues with the film. And then with Fire Fist in particular, the whole thing is he is not necessarily going to kill the headmaster and then go on a killing spree. It's that he kills the headmaster and eventually he starts killing other people and then goes on a killing spree. It's kind of like the first step down the road, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And so I didn't mind that, but I liked him because he felt more fleshed out to me. I mean, we got more of his backstory. He was funny. He was human. He wasn't always the same thing all the time. And he felt like a real kid.
That's funny. He was your favorite character because I would say mine was Domino. Now, going well,
Hey. I wouldn't say my favorite. I said one of my favorites.
Okay. I mean, I would say going into this movie, I was a little upset because they kind of changed Domino from the comic. She has like blue skin. She's very serious.
Well, it's here, like she's chalk like white.
Yeah, but I mean, here she's funny. I think it works. She's actually my favorite character. I can't remember the name of the actress. She does an amazing job here. Yep. Okay. Zazie Beetz does an amazing job here. Definitely highlight. I just wanted to see more of her, and I love how they had her superhero, which is a bit different in the comic. So here, she just, they don't really go into it, I guess. She just says she's lucky. In the comics, her superpower is that she can manipulate the odds. Right. So I can't remember what comic this is from, but I remember reading a comic and she was battling a supervillain and there was a thunderstorm out. Right. And she kicked the supervillain away and then manipulated where the lightning was striking. She manipulated the luck, the odds of that, and the lightning struck the supervillain. So she's just able to manipulate and change odds, percentages here and there by a little bit. And that serves her in the luck department, which is kind of similar to this movie. It's just not explained.
Yeah, I think it's a hard thing to explain to an audience that isn't used to it. So I think what they did is okay. If I had to pick a character from this movie that was my favorite, she would probably be it. I also really enjoyed her. I wasn't super disappointed when I found out what they were doing with the character because I don't have a lot of attachment to her. I did wish that she looked like the comics, and I'm not talking about a white person or a black person. I just mean like the comic version is like chalk white, or sometimes she is like off blue. And they've always been really good about giving characters the way they look in the Deadpool movie. So I kind of wanted to see that. But after seeing what they did with her in this film, it was great. I mean, she was a standout in this cast, which was really awesome. Unfortunately, the rest of the X-Force, I don't feel was.
Yeah, actually, so Caleb, what did you think of the original X-Force getting killed? Because it introduced all these new characters, and I'm like, okay. And then they just killed them off right away.
So this is one of my issues with the movie, and you mentioned it earlier. I don't feel like this movie has a strong focus. I think it wavers around a lot. The first movie jumped around in a timeline a lot, but there was always a central conflict going on. In this one, while there is the conflict of Fire Fist in the background, it feels like they just go off on these tangents that don't matter. While the X-Force scenes were kind of funny, as soon as they killed them, I was super disappointed. Not angry, but really frustrated that they wasted 10-15 minutes of this movie setting something up that isn't going to pay off at all. Like, the jokes weren't funny enough for that to be the case, especially because some of them were already in the trailers.
Okay, sure. See, I disagree with you there. I thought this movie, one highlight of this movie for me was just how funny it was. I thought setting all of that up for them to die, I thought that was incredible. I laughed. And honestly, I think one of the best parts of this movie is the joke. You said all the funny moments were pretty much in the trailers, except for the funniest moment when after he gets ripped in half by the Juggernaut, which actually comes from a comic. We've talked about this before in our other podcast, The Ultimate Hulk versus Wolverine. But anyway, so he gets ripped in half, right? And then he grows his baby legs. That was hilarious.
Yes.
And it was actually in there, Caleb, too, that audiences here are going to get more of a laugh because they drop a joke about Minneapolis. And my theater like erupted in laughter. And I've talked to other people who've watched the movie here, and that's the biggest joke.
I will say that, you know, a lot of sequels do the same jokes over and over and over. This movie doesn't do a whole lot of jokes from the first movie. The ones it does do, though, I feel like they twist really, really well. There's that joke. There's a couple at the beginning. I don't remember exactly. So those jokes land for me, but I don't know. I guess I was reading a bunch of interviews where they were like, oh yeah, we did 20 takes of this. So the things you're seeing in the trailers aren't necessarily what you're going to see in the movie. And I'm like, okay, awesome. And then I go to the movie and they're all there. The DC joke was there, which would have been hilarious sure. in the theater, but they spoiled it. The Thanos jokes were in the trailer. It just, I hate to keep harping on it, but for me, that was a really, really big letdown.
Now, it was funny, though, how much of Marvel they brought up. You know, they did the sun's going real low.
Right? That was funny.
That was pretty funny. They did a lot of other Marvel jokes, like Black Widow, Was it Ant-Man or Hawkeye? Oh, it was Hawkeye. It was also called out. So I loved all the Marvel jokes they had in there. Matt Damon made an appearance, as well as Tom Cruise. Both of them made an appearance. I don't know if you knew that.
Tom Cruise. Are you sure, Tom Cruise?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Tom Cruise was a runner-up for Cable. He was almost chosen to be Cable. And Tom Cruise was the invisible man, the Vanisher, right? So he's the one that got shocked.
You got the wrong guy, dude. You are talking about Brad Pitt.
I am talking about Brad Pitt. Yes. Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, two action stars. They look similar. Whatever. They're the same. But yeah, Matt Damon is also in this film. He's one of the rednecks that were in the truck when Cable first showed up. You just couldn't tell because of all the makeup that was on him.
Yes. And also there's Alan Tudyk, or however you pronounce his name.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
From great Firefly actor. And Rogue One. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of cameos in this movie. The X-Men.
That's true. Yeah. They all showed up. That was great.
Which doesn't, again, make a lot of sense because this movie is not set in the 80s.
No.
Where they are, but... I mean, I don't care about that.
But it was funny. I mean,
my one complaint with that, though, is that CGI looked really bad.
It looked hideous. And
it looked terrible.
You could tell it was two separate shots and just a green screen. It was awful.
Yeah, it was really bad.
I mean, overall, this movie, it's a good sequel, right? And so it's a good sequel to Deadpool 1. I know you like it probably a little less than I do, but it's a decent movie. Now, Caleb, let's talk about those end credit scenes.
Well, real quick before we get to that, I do want to point out, at the end of the movie, when there's the explosions going up, they gave Deadpool the X-Force costume.
Yes, they did.
Which I thought was really awesome. So in the comics, basically, Deadpool has, it's the same costume, but it's a different color scheme. It's like a gray and black, or white and black, or white and gray, something like that costume that he wears in the comics when he's part of X-Force. And they kind of simulated that at the end by putting a bunch of ash on him. I think it would be really awesome if they did that in the X-Force movie, but I don't think they will, for no other reason than marketing.
It would be interesting to definitely see that for at least part of that movie.
Yeah. So, in credit scenes. well, what did you think of them?
Okay, so ending of this movie, right? We had Deadpool who... he did die. I mean, he was dead, and then it was Cable who brought him back to life because of he used his whatever one time machine thing, which I thought was, I thought it was kind of funny. I wish they would have played up the idea of like him dying instead of like Logan, which they kind of, trying to one up Logan.
I hated that because it just kept going on and on. It was funny the first time or two, and then it just kept going.
Yeah, but I was expecting it to go on because I knew that's the way the humor is in the movie. So I was fine with it. Yeah. Okay, so these end credit scenes have been reported to be canon. Now, obviously, some of them can't be canon because we see that Deadpool goes in the past and kills the Deadpool from X-Men Origin. That was probably the best one. So funny.
Yeah, that was really good. I had accidentally seen part of this. I saw it and I read Weapon X and I was like, oh no. And I stopped
reading. No.
And so then I thought, oh, he's going to show up and like Wolverine's going to be there, which kind of happened. So I was a little disappointed, but this was a perfect scene. It was so funny. Canon wise, it doesn't make sense, like you said, but this is for the fans.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, he goes and kills himself for getting a big break in the Green Lantern. He does bring back Vanessa, so that's canon. Vanessa is actually back. He does save Peter. I read something that says he saves all of those original X-Force characters. We never see that. We just see him saving Peter. So I think they all died except him.
I think they did that so they could go either way. If they wanted to bring them back, they can. But if they don't, they don't have to.
And what was the fifth one? Because that was four of them.
No, the first one was them fixing the time machine.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this movie had five like kind of mid credit scenes. They were all super fast. I thought that was great. What I thought was interesting was after that, I Googled it on my phone, so I knew there was no more in credit scenes after that. I was just staying because there was that awesome music remix, kind of like the first movie. And an attendant came out and he's like, just to let everybody know, there is no in credit scene in this movie. And I looked around, like, I saw this at 10:45 during the day. There were a lot of people in that theater, and everybody, like, groaned and, like, got up and left the theater. And, like, I heard people being like, this is a Marvel movie. They need to have one. Or, like, they're supposed to have one. So I thought that was kind of interesting that because Marvel movies, you know, the MCU has set that up, that people now, when they see a movie that has Marvel at the title, think yep. that it needs to have an end credit scene.
Well, I mean, they had the mid credits, but so I have two things real quick that I want to bring up. The first one we kind of talked about, he goes back and he saves Vanessa, which invalidates the entire movie.
It does. It's such a bad choice.
But I mean, they did it for laughs. I'm okay with it for this particular movie. But when Cable was going to go back, I actually thought he was going to go back and save Vanessa.
Oh, at the okay. end. Interesting, yeah.
Thinking about it more, though, that wouldn't make any sense, Zach, because if he had done that, then his future still would have been terrible.
Yeah, that's true. That wouldn't have solved his future. Yeah.
So that wouldn't have solved his goals. Second thing I want to mention real quick is I remember when the Venom trailer came out, everybody was like, oh, it says in association with Marvel in the logo. I was paying attention. This movie does not say in association with Marvel. So that could be something different with Sony and Marvel than just, you know, the regular logo.
Yeah, this just has, I mean, and it's not even the MCU logo. It's just the regular comic flipping logo.
Right, which is what they've been using ever since, you know, they've started been doing this. So yes. I was curious if the association one was a new one, you know, it should have been in this movie.
Exactly. So it'll be definitely interesting to see where they go from there. But like you said, Caleb, this is going to go to an X-Force movie. I am excited for an X-Force movie. There have been a lot of different characters, you know, in the X-Force, but I think the staples would kind of be Domino, obviously. I mean, Cable, who started X-Force, Deadpool, and I mean, Colossus has been in there. You know, one person that has is Wolverine. I would love to see Wolverine in an X-Force.
I would like to see that too, but I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it probably won't.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman is done with the character.
But they could recast it.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be the same.
What if you brought in X-23 into X-Force?
I could go with that. The issue you have with that is, do you go with the same actress or not? Because she was so good, but she's really young.
I would go with the same actress for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I would be on board with that. That's a great idea, Zach.
All right. You heard it from us, folks. So overall, good movie. Could have been better. But excited for the third? Or interested in the third?
I am cautiously optimistic, but much less interested than before. So I say not as good as the first one. And you say?
Not as good as the first one, but a good sequel.
Okay.
All right, well, I think that kind of wraps us up for today. Any last words, Caleb?
I just wish they would have given maximum effort.
Well, you know, we could give some maximum effort and buy Taylor Pool a chimichanga. If you guys don't know, Taylor Pool is actually living out of a cardboard box, and we basically force him to
record make us music.
Yep, record yep. music. We beat him up. So if you could actually go over to his channel, maybe donate a few dollars, give him a chimichanga, that would be awesome. You can go visit him at taylorpoolmusic.com.
That's taylorpoole music.com.
Or you can show maximum effort by visiting our friends over at CNC Power Hour. They are on Twitch or Facebook, and they stream Magic the Gathering as well as video games. That's CNC Power Hour.
And make sure to check out our website, CuzWe'reNerds.com. You can find out all the places where you can listen to our podcast. It's a great way to share the podcast as well. And, you know, we might be updating it in the next few months with some more information as well.
Well, thanks for listening to Cuz We're Nerds. We'd love to hear your comments or feedback at CuzWe'reNerds@gmail.com. Or you can leave us a comment or review on our Facebook page or iTunes. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or any other major social networking or podcasting site. And never tell us the odds as we review Solo, a Star Wars movie, next week. Stay nerdy.
So I think it'll hold the test of time better than the first movie.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Actually, I don't know why I said that. I would not agree with that at all.
Wow, Zach.
I think the first movie's better.
What? Wow, you just said all of that wrong.
I lie during podcasts. It's what I do.
They're paying him to lie, everyone.
It's my mutant power.
Don't trust him.